right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Welcome to week two. Everybody say week two. Week two. Yeah, week two in our Marriage Killer series. Having a good time with this. How many of y'all received something last week? Was it helpful? All right, for half of you it was. All right, for the other half, we hope you get it. All right. Well, it's great to have you. I think we're off to a great start and really excited for today and really excited that I get to minister with my beautiful wife today, everybody. And so I always love when we get to do that. Yeah, and so it's a special time for us. Before we get into this message, I want to just say this to the 10 a.m. service, all right? And that is this, that we have a good problem happening, and so we're trying to figure out some things, and this is one of the things that we are figuring out. So we have, over the last several weeks, have been hitting capacity in our 10 a.m. service, all right? And so I'm going to talk for those that call Elevate Home. What I need you to do is help me. Everybody say, help a pastor. Come on, help a pastor. And if you want to help me, this is what I need some of you to do, is to start coming to our 8:30 service, all right? And literally, you listen, you can win people to Jesus by just coming to church earlier, and I'm not being funny. And here's what I mean, because that's going to open up some seats for guests that are going to come. And so we've just been watching our numbers over the last few weeks, and our 10 a.m. service is really just, it's been capping out the last few weeks. So I want to just ask you to please consider our 8:30. We've got room in that service right now. And we just had our biggest service today in our first service, which is awesome. And so, but we have room. And so I want to just ask you to please consider coming and moving to that 8:30. Service, because that's, again, going to help us, and we're all about winning more people to Jesus, and so that's, again, it's going to create some space so that we can continue to grow this service. I know we're at 3 services right now, and so, but we're just trying to continue to figure things out. Amen, everybody? All right, let's get into the message here, and really excited for this week. I want to encourage you, if you missed last week's message, make sure you go online or on the app and check out the message. And we talked about navigating through conflict last week within our marriage. And so it's I think, real important for us. But I want to start off here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and beginning in verse 7. It says this, that love is patient. Everybody shout, love is.
Love is.
Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. One of the things, the reasons why I love that scripture, and that is a scripture that's shared even in a lot of marriage ceremonies today, but is a great picture of who Jesus is, but the kind of love that should be in our relationship, should be in our marriages. And these are qualities that I think that we all need to continue to grow in and want to be a part of our lives. I shared a stat last week that is just absolutely mind-blowing, that the average marriage in America right now is only lasting 3 years. And so if you have a marriage that has went beyond 3 years, congratulations, because you have already defied the statistical odds in our nation. And I think that is a very sad stat, everybody. And I think it's why the local church, that we've got to continue to help do our part to help build marriages and build families. Can you say amen, everybody? Amen. And so I think it's so important for us. And so in this message today, Bethany and I are going to do our best to really just try to be very clear. But we're going to be very honest in this. And I also know for those that desire to get married, this is going to be an important message as well for you. I think you're going to benefit a lot from today. And, you know, in our marriages, it should be a place that we are enjoying each other. It should be a place of acceptance and joy. And marriage really is awesome, everybody. We do go through tough times, but it's awesome. And so, we want to enjoy the journey together, not just trying to get through it. Because I don't think anybody just wakes up one day and says, man, I want to be married 3 years and just end it. You know what I mean? I just don't think anybody wakes up saying that. And so we got to, I believe, bring importance and value. And it's why we do series like this at our church, because we know it's important for us to help build marriages within our church.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if you are single, get this now, because if you do anything, be prepared for marriage. You don't want to go into marriage thinking you're going to be perfect, because you're not going to be, but you can go in prepared and making sure that you are doing the best that you can do to go into marriage healthy. And if you are married, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're not, just know that you can still learn something from this today. If you are having a hard time, just know it's not too late. It's never too late to make a change and do marriage God's way. And that's what we want for each of you here today, is to really see how marriage can be done God's way in a healthy way.
Amen. You know, we were talking this week when we were looking at this message, and the last kind of 6 months or so of the place that we were living at, our house, became a place of chaos. And here's why it became a place of chaos, is because all of a sudden we had a mice problem. Lord Jesus, I hate those things. And I don't sleep well when I know those things are alive while I'm sleeping. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? I mean, them things, man, and just confessing this morning, I took a shovel to one of them, man. It was brutal. And so, I mean, it just hate those things. Hate them. And so, but for about 2 weeks, our house is in chaos. And, you know, our kids are going crazy as well, because we're also trying to protect our bedrooms, and from, you know, of course, our minds just went there and thought, man, hopefully these things don't, like, crawl up the steps, you know. So we set boundaries. I mean, we, like, got the table and the coffee table and had it set in such a way so the mouse doesn't come up. I mean, we're just, you know, freaking out. I don't hate those things. They're just don't like them. But anyway, and so, and what it did is it created just chaos, man, inside of our home. And kind of a little deal, but kind of a big deal. And it just caused all kinds of disruption. And I was thinking about the scripture that I shared last week that I want to share again here today. It's out of Song of Songs. And I'm going somewhere with my story, so hang with me. All right, and it says this, verse 15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes. Everybody say the little foxes. The little foxes. That ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. I think what's important, the little foxes, is sometimes the little things within our marriages that if we don't take a look at those things right now, or maybe you're dating or wherever you may be, I'm telling you, it's the little things that may not seem like a big deal that can become a big deal. And I think it's so important that we value those things. And spouses, even if we're in the place, husbands and wives, that maybe your spouse has communicated something to you, maybe you don't feel like it's a big deal, but it may be a big deal to him, or maybe a big deal to her, everybody. So I think it's so important, because here's what I realized. If we didn't adjust and figure out the mice problem, we knew that we were going to come into a place of infestation. No, thank you. And here's what I realized. The same could be said for our marriages, is that if we don't pay attention to the little things that may be creeping in, that we're just maybe not being mindful enough or honoring enough to our spouse to handle those things now, it could become a greater problem. So we've got to take care of the little things in our life. And there's a saying out there that I'm just going to kind of debunk it, because I think it's horrible. I think it's horrible theology. And it's, you know, that spouses need to give 50-50. Oh, man, nothing could be further from the truth. What a husband and wife has to do, it's not about 50-50. It's each of us giving 100% of us. Amen, church? And so that's what we want to build, and that's what we want to do right here today.
So in talking about expectations, the Word of God is clear when it comes to expectations. What the Bible's not clear about is kind of those day-to-day roles, what those roles look like. Who's going to do car maintenance and be responsible for that? Who's going to be responsible for making sure that the chores are done, and that type of thing? So what we want to do is do our best to help with that. One of the biggest areas of unmet expectations or issues when it comes to expectations is in the area of sex. And so we want to talk about that today, because that's a vital part of marriage that's very important.
Let me throw out that disclaimer real quick, because I forgot to. And that is, today's message, parts of this is going to get a little spicy today. All right, so if you have kids that are 12 and under, our children's ministry is an amazing ministry. And this might be the opportunity of the day for them to introduce that to them. But if not, if they're 13 older, I think it's completely appropriate. And I talked a little bit about that last week. So it's totally up to you as parents, your discretion. Just wanted to throw that in there. All right?
Absolutely. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So in a marriage, you must be willing to submit to one another and serve one another. That's really the only way that marriage is going to work well. Ephesians 5:22 through 25 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit themselves to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So sometimes we can get the wrong idea that word submit. We hear it and we automatically go on the defense because we view that as a controlling or dominating thing, but it's really not.
Yeah, and the word, we were talking about this week, and I think that word scares people, the word submit or submission, because oftentimes we kind of correlate that word with, I think, with control, and which is totally not. And one of the meanings of the word submit or submission is literally to come under and to lift up. And so that when you see that scripture in Ephesians 5:21 talking about submitting to one another means that I'm going to submit to Bethany in such a way, and here's what that means. I'm going to come under and I'm going to lift up, which represents honor, which represents loyalty, and I think is, again, just a great picture of the love of God in the context of marriage.
Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. James 3:2 says we all stumble in many ways. So we have to realize that none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. We all make mistakes, and we all have those imperfections. We must understand, though, that when it comes to marriage, the enemy is there wanting to do whatever he can to infiltrate and sabotage us in the area of marriage. And so that's something that we really want to dive into further today.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the person next to you and just say, hey, I don't know if you know this. Go ahead, tell them that. Like, I don't know if you know this, but I've got some issues. I mean, there's just something about that that just kind of brings freedom, everybody. I mean, whew, just make, now that we got that, we can go on. All right, amen, everybody. I want to take us back to the Garden of Eden and something as we were just kind of doing some study this week that I think is so important, so good. Genesis chapter 2. Beginning in verse 22, and it says, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united. Everybody say united.
United.
To his wife, and they become one flesh. Everybody shout one flesh.
One flesh.
Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, something interesting happens just a few verses after this. Let's look at this. Chapter 3, verse 1. So now they're together, had their big wedding day, and it says, the Bible says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? I think it's interesting to notice the serpent manifested, but here's what I want you to notice, is that he didn't manifest until after the wedding day. And I think, you know, as we were just talking about this week, that when we were dating and engaged, that it's like we had no wrongs. It was like everything's well, tipping through the tulips, life is good, adversity, what adversity, you know what I mean? And then it's amazing that after we got married, man, just the challenges. We get married, then we move in together, and then it's just like, oh, wow, you got some issues too, you know, and so do I, you know? And it's just the clashing of things that can happen sometimes, and the enemy is so manipulative. And remember, we learned this back in our freedom series, that he is a liar. His native language, that's his native language, that he is a liar and there's no truth in him. And so the enemy is manipulative, and he's in a place that he'll try to build upon the negative thoughts that sometimes that we have. And so that's why sometimes we have feelings and thoughts that say, man, I should have never got married to you. This wasn't a match or a marriage that was made in heaven, or we're never going to be happy, so we might as well just quit. We might as well just throw in the towel. I just think we're in a society that's quitting too quickly, and I think that, man, we need to be fighting for marriages. Amen, everybody? And so I just want you to know, these pastors, man, we're going to fight for marriage. We're going to fight for it with everything within us. But I think what happens sometimes is that when we think about marriage or we go into marriage, we kind of get this mindset that our spouse will be the source of our contentment, of our joy, and our peace. And I just want to be very clear on something, whether you're wanting to be married or whether you are married right now, only God can be your true source of everything that you need, your joy, your peace, and your contentment. Amen, everybody? And so I just think it's so important for us to make sure we understand that truth.
And that takes us into our first checkmark, which is unmet expectations. So we have to realize that when we have an expectation that's not met, we get angry. And the reason we get angry is really because we've not gotten our way. That's really what we wanted, was to have our way. And so when that expectation is not met, that's where that frustration can come in. So we have to be willing to ask ourselves if we're holding ourselves to the same standard that we're holding our spouse to. And if you want something different than how things are going in your marriage right now, it's not to change marriages. It's to look within yourself and be the change first off within your marriage. One of the most common areas of unmet expectations that we have had the, not necessarily privilege, but, you know, just had the responsibility to counsel many couples, and that's the area of sex. Because sex is an area that the enemy will do whatever he can to come in and sabotage and infiltrate. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. So married couples, single couples, please hear me when I say, do not include anything in your marriage or your personal life that is impure. I don't know where it has happened, but somewhere along the way, there's come this mindset and this belief that including things like pornography in our marriage or our personal lives is okay, and it's not. It's wrong, and it's a sin. And in doing that, when you include pornography, whether it's something you are reading, whether it's something you're viewing or hearing, when you're doing that, you're including another person in on your marriage or in your personal life. And that's wrong. It's a sin. And the Bible is clear about that. So you don't want to do it. The Bible even tells us that even sin is pleasurable for a season. So you may think, oh, well, it's pleasurable. It's fun. But that's not healthy. It's not okay. You can have fun within your marriage when it comes to the area of sex without including anything that is impure. And pornography is one of the biggest areas that we will see destruction happen in marriages, is because you include that in your marriage.
Yeah, that's good. There's a stat that 56% of marriages actually end, and part of the source of it is because of pornography. Think, man, why is this a topic? Well, because we're seeing it destroy lives. We're seeing it destroy whether you want to be married or you are. It's impacting, and so honoring the marriage bed is just crucial.
Absolutely. Song of Solomon 2:7 says, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right." You know, sex is meant to happen within the context of marriage between a man and a woman. That's what God's word says. That's his standard. It's not something that we've decided. That's God's standard. But we do have the responsibility to be honest with you and help you see in the word what God's word says about the area of marriage and sex. And that is the only place that it should be happening. You know, we can kind of come from two different spectrums on this, Kyle and I, because when we got married, he was a virgin, but I was not. So before we got married, when things started getting serious, I had to be honest with him and make sure that he knew going into marriage where I was when it came to the area of sex, and that I was not a virgin. So I was very honest with him, very blunt about my past and choices that I had made. But the thing is, his response is what the response should be of any man of God who truly loves a woman. First, he's going to honor her enough to wait. But two, if there is a past in either your, you know, future fiance, man or woman, that the response should be what God would say, and that's that you're pure before them. And that's what Kyle's response was to me. When I was honest with him, he didn't throw it in my face or anything like that. His response was, your past is your past. And just as you are new before God, you're new before me, and you are my virgin girl. And that's how we should have our mate should respond to us. That's the right way.
That's right.
Absolutely. And you know what that did for me was that gave me peace, because it's a real thing. Those feelings of guilt and regret want to rise up and want to condemn us, but we're not condemning you. Please know that if you have had sex outside of marriage, we are not condemning you, but we love you enough to be honest with you and urge you to make a change, to change the way that you're living your life from this day forward, to do it different. Do it God's way, because that's the best way that you can do marriage. And so we have to be honest with you. We have that responsibility. I knew that was the right thing to do. And don't awaken love before its time is right, and the time is within marriage. Song of Solomon 4:7 says, "You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you." And that's how God views us. Amen. And that's how the right man or the right woman is going to respond to you. And there's a saying that says, "A woman's heart should be so lost in God that a man needs to seek him in order to find her." So, guys, that's the kind of woman you look for, is a woman that isn't searching for a man. She's searching for the Lord.
Amen.
And men, I'm telling you, don't look for anybody any other way. Women, same thing. Don't be searching for a man. Go search for God, because the moment that you make God your priority, that's when you're going to see that person come into your life and be, you honor God with that.
You know, the thing about this today, everybody, here's what we know. We know this is countercultural. We know culture ain't teaching this and society isn't teaching this. But, man, I just dream of a church and of a people that love Jesus, love his word, and want to raise up our kids according to the word of God and not the ways of this world, everybody. Amen, amen, everybody. Amen. And so that's our heart. And I just want to say this, too, that no matter, I don't care what happened last night. Don't care what you did last night. Just glad you're here today. All right? Because Jesus came to make all things new. So don't let the devil try to hang you up with what happened last night. There's some decisions right here this morning that you can make between you and God to start allowing your future to become something different for the glory of God. So I'm just telling you, the devil's a liar and he's defeated, and just know that. Amen? All right. So I want to share a scripture with you out of the Song of Solomon. And this is a spicy book. Like, it's a good devotional book for the married couples. I'm telling you, you might enjoy this book, all right? It's spicy. Man, it's detailed, too, and it says all the things that you think it might. It does. And so healthy conversations about sex with a husband and wife are, listen to me, powerful and good. All right, so I want to give you a picture. So here's Solomon, what a stud, but he's after, man, he's just gotten married and to his girl, and I love how he starts out. There's 16 verses in this. This is their honeymoon night, by the way, all right? And so out of the 16 verses, he's talking 15 of the 16, all right? But why don't you check this out? I thought this was so good. He says this, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead," meaning girlfriend has let her hair down. All right, the process is beginning. All right. He says, "Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing," meaning girl has brushed her teeth with some Crest toothpaste. Thank you, girl. You know, and it goes on to say, each has its twin. Not one of them is alone," meaning she's got all of her teeth. And so here's what I know, two things about this girl already, that she's not a hockey player and that she's not from Kentucky. Amen. All right. Anyway. All right. Moving on. "Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate." Not a clue what that means. "Your neck is like the Tower of David." That had to be good in that culture. "Built with elegance, on it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors." But here's what I want you to see in this verse. He hasn't even touched her yet. That's what I thought too. Like, whoa, bro. And we almost went a totally different direction with this message, but we really felt talking on expectations was so important. But I want to say this for married couples. Listen to me. Great sex is affirming. It's affirming. It's affirming. And men, I want you to listen to this, because this is for me and for you, that women are motivated and even aroused by the ear gate. And so what they hear is very important to them. So in lovemaking, husbands, don't be in a hurry. There's an old saying that men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots, all right? So slow down, fellas, all right? Slow it down. And I won't go into depth with Bethany and I's relationship, but I will say this. I find that when I affirm her and I adore her, life is good in the Mills home, all right? And so, guys, I want to encourage you to ask her what she likes and do it. But ladies, it's not just all about him and what he needs to do. Ladies, ask him and what he likes and enjoy. And I'm telling you, that's the part within a marriage with each other. Man, talk about it. Have communication about it. Don't be fearful about it. And have fun. You're married, all right? So you can do that. Married couples, I also want to say this real quick, and this is so important, to never use sex as a weapon against your spouse. especially, you know, when you're not happy. Sex is not a means for punishment. You need to have honest conversations and talk those things out. I've had people say, well, how many times a week do you recommend that we're intimate and have sex? I think 1 to 2 times at least a week, at least, all right? And last year, all right, because I've already had some people ask me this, are you issuing the 7-day sex challenge again for married couples? And I'm not, but I want to brag on God a little bit on that, but we've got a lot of babies that'll be dedicated in a few weeks because of that. All right, just saying. And we had people actually write in though and talk to us about what it did. You know what it did? It challenged them to daily have purposeful, intentional conversations, not just about sex, but even just about each other and what you like, what you don't like. And so I think it's. I just believe that couples, married couples who are engaged in sexual intimacy are stronger. And I'll say this as well, just very quickly, that don't stop dating each other. Married couples, listen to me. You need to keep that happening. And think about the times before you got married. I can remember that. And, you know, my favorite times of the week is when I know I get to be with this girl, just me and her. And having those date nights, I look forward to just going out and doing whatever it is. Listen, I love my wife more than I love my kids. I love my kids, but I love my wife more. And here's what I mean by that. This is important. One day, our kids are going to grow up. They're going to turn 18. And they may go off and go to college, and then they're going to have their own lives and families at some point. But guess who I'm still living with? I'm married to her. And so working on our marriage now is so important. Y'all getting this today? It's so important that we understand that. So
our next check mark is unspoken expectations. So these are things that we want or need our spouse to do, but we don't communicate those things. We, for some reason, expect our spouse to just be able to read our minds. I know I've been guilty of that myself in my own marriage. But when we do that, we're setting our spouse up to fail because they can't read your mind. And it won't ever happen. So you have to be willing to just say what your needs and desires are and be willing to talk about it and make those things clear. There's nothing wrong with asking your spouse to do something as long as you're doing it with the right attitude and the right heart. It doesn't come off in a bossy way or in a nagging way, so long as you're saying it with the right heart and making sure that you're asking and not telling or demanding. So there's nothing wrong with that, but we've got to be careful in how we communicate that.
Yeah, and here's the last one, and that's unrealistic expectations. And I think this is huge because I think sometimes, and let me just say it from my heart, when I got married to Bethany, I didn't come in with a list of expectations for her to meet. Man, I love her for who she is. And that's why I fell in love with her. And so when I got married, I didn't change. I didn't go through this list. And so I just think we got to be careful. I think we can all have a great expectation of wanting and desiring great marriages. But I also think, having a bunch of expectations can almost kind of rob each other. And so I just think we need to be careful. So how do we decide what is unrealistic? I think you've got to run it through the filter of, is it supporting? Is it respecting? Is it loving them? Is it honoring and protecting them? Because there's always going to be tension within marriages and relationships, so that we have to be honest and open and work out. I want to read you, it's going to be on the screen here in just a second, common unrealistic expectations that are according some of the top ones to psychologists in our nation. Just thought this was so interesting. First of all, is that marriage, that it will provide me with love and acceptance. That marriage will guarantee me affection and sexual intimacy. Will rescue me from my present circumstances, give me financial security. That marriage will afford me significance and social acceptance. That it will grant me broader career opportunities and will protect me from loneliness. That marriage will surround me with a loving and supportive family. That it will assure me that someone is always going to take care of me. And that marriage will allow me to change my mate. And so here's just kind of a takeaway question that I have for us to think about, and that is just this: do I expect of myself as much as I expect of my spouse? All right, so important just for you to think about. Again, this series is for you to listen, not nudging the person on your right or your left, but I just know when I make premeditated decisions to not fulfill Bethany, that I'm in essence telling her that I don't love her and that I don't care about her. So I think it's just so important. So we want to give you some takeaways here for the last few minutes. Five ingredients for a marriage that is beyond expectations.
So number one is allow my spouse to be human. A lot of times what we look at as a strength when we're dating can very quickly turn into a frustration when we're married, because marriage magnifies things within us, within our character and our personality. So maybe, you know, when you were dating, you thought, gosh, he is just so determined. I just love that he's so determined. And then the moment that you're married, you're like, he is so stubborn. I can't believe how stubborn he is. And so we have to realize that, you know, within personalities, you know, we have to understand that none of us are perfect, that we have to allow each other to have faults and have bad days sometimes, because we definitely all have bad days. But try and remember that none of us are perfect. And this is the person that you chose to spend the rest of your life with because you love them. So remember, try and remind yourself of those things that you did love so much about them.
Yeah, there's a second thing. Jot this down, and that's make forgiveness a way of life. Man, it's so, oh my goodness, important. Jesus said in Matthew 18, it said, Peter came to him, asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times, he asked. I love Jesus' response. He said, nope, not even seven times. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Can I tell you how to have 100% success in your marriage? You ready for this? You ready? Give grace to each other. Give grace and be willing to forgive. Let forgiveness truly be a way of life for you. Something I said last week that I want to reiterate again today is that you are not enemies. You are allies. You're on the same team. And I think that we got to continue to be reminded of that. I even would take this next step further, because it impacts our kids. We talked a little bit about that last week. But I think it's important, because your children's well-being is more dependent on the condition of your marriage than anything else. I'm confident of that. And so I just want to encourage us to be mindful of that.
Number three is love when you don't feel like it. So 1 Corinthians 13:4, going back to our initial scripture, is love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. So love is not a feeling, it's a choice that we make day in and day out. John 3:16, a scripture that a lot of us are familiar with, is that for God so loved the world that he gave. It was a choice. Christ died on the cross for us because it was a choice, because he loved you. He didn't have to do that. It was because he loved you. And that's how we are to live our lives, for our spouse first and foremost, but even to everybody else, that we love, we choose to love on a daily basis.
You know, I kind of wrestled with whether I was going to say this or not, and I'm going to say it. I think what's important too, I want to just talk to those that are maybe dating right now, that you know, Bethany read some of those scriptures earlier about not awakening love to its time. I just want to just encourage you so much. And if you're in a relationship right now that you're being pressured, I just feel like I need to say this today. That is an indicator of some things, and that's a red flag. And so if there's a constant pressure for you to do things that you are not comfortable doing, I'm just telling you, it's a red flag, and it's waving. And if he or she cannot honor you and respect you right now, it's a sign for what could come. I understand that's kind of tough talk, but my name's Kyle Mills. I'm your pastor. I'm just here to help, all right? So I just want you to know. Because we've just journeyed with people. I'm just telling you, if you're seeing some of that. And listen, men and women, because it's not just a guy problem or a girl problem. It's a both problem in the context of dating, just all kinds of things. I just want to encourage, man, honor God, honor that person. In Jesus' name, honor her, honor him, all right? And let's keep Jesus the center of it all. Amen? All right. Number four is this: let peace be the ruler. I love this in Philippians 4. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Pray. Get lost with God about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet, at rest, as you trust in Christ Jesus. I believe we must protect the atmosphere of peace. It's so important. I like peace a lot more than I like craziness and chaos. I don't know about you, but give me peace all day long. Amen, everybody. And here's the last thing. Love this so much, and that's this: always be thankful. Man, we just don't know how much time we have left. And I can't imagine doing this life without Bethany. I just can't. Can imagine her not being along my side and in this journey together with me, my wife, but me, my best friend in the world. I can't think about, I just cannot even fathom, and I'm thankful for her. And you need to thank God for each other. need to thank God, even for the maybe the tough moments that you have been through. Thank God that you learned from him and that you're journeying forward. Thank God for that. Amen. That you're stronger now than where you were, and you're not where you used to be. Amen, everybody. And I just believe this. Unity in a marriage is an unstoppable force. And when it comes to, you know, I told First Service this. That's why unity within your intimacy, husbands and wives, is important. Think about it this way. The enemy constantly tries to attack your relationship with God. He tries to attack your intimacy with God from you drawing close. How much more would the enemy try to do to our marriages and keep us divided in the place of intimacy? You understand what I'm saying? And so I think it's just important that we stay so close to God in a place of just gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord and allowing him to be God. I just know, man, that I'm better with Bethany with me, and we're better together in this. So we've got just a couple minutes to answer some questions that you have asked. And if you want to text questions, we're going to do this next week as well, at the end of the message next week. And we're doing the best that we can with the time that we're allotted. And so if you want to ask some questions, you can send that in for next week as well. Bethany will come up at the end of service with me next week and try to help me answer some of these questions. So we're going to throw up the first question, guys. Go ahead. All right, the first question is, how do you forgive, all right, when your spouse continues to hurt you weekly?
So this is a difficult one because there may be some very real hurts that have happened, and if they are continuing to happen, that's very difficult. What I would say is, one, you have to make the choice to forgive over and over. Like we heard earlier, the Bible tells us that we're to forgive 70 times 7, which is 490 times, and that's in a day. So that's what you are to allot your spouse or anybody else that you need to forgive, is that ability to forgive them 490 times in one day. And that may seem like a lot, but that's just going to show you how much God thinks it's important that we be willing to forgive. And don't not ask for help if you need it. If you need help, you have to reach out and ask for help.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you, I mean, for these questions too, because obviously, I mean, these are coming from you. And so this is how you're feeling. And I wouldn't change anything Bethany said. I think it was excellent. And I would just add into addition, it is why we need friends and we need small groups and we need to have people in our lives that love Jesus just as much as we do. And I just know that if you're on this journey right now, you're going to need that love and encouragement as well as you're believing God for a breakthrough. And I think continuing to keep your heart in that place, like Bethany said, is so vital and important. But not doing this life alone is going to be, I think, a real source of help and encouragement as well for you in this time. Okay, next. Any direction on relationships after divorce? This is kind of a broad question, I think, but we'll kind of do our best to answer this. I would say this, first of all, and hear my heart on this, take your time. I mean, that's kind of like a duh thing, right? Well, I just encourage you, sometimes we come out of a situation like that, and having two parents that divorced at a young age, I just watched them walk through some difficulty, but also watched them make some good decisions as well. And I think one of the things I watched them do was they took their time before they ever considered remarrying again. And I think that getting the help that we need in our lives to make sure that we're healed, that we're really healed, and that we give ourselves, listen to me, give ourselves the permission to go through a process, and that may be with counseling, to work out that healing, and then to also learn from the mistakes that maybe we made. And so I just want to encourage you that that's okay, and taking your time is so crucial, though, and not trying to speed things up. I mean, I know we live in this you know, society that's just fast-paced and just hurry it up, but I'm just telling you, it's important just to take your time in that, and then having, you know, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And I know I need in my life a bunch of people that are smarter than me to help me through this journey and to help me even God relationally and even today within our marriage. Anything you want to add?
And the thing is that the statistics for a repeat marriage to be successful is very low, and that's because a lot of those repeat marriages, you haven't really dealt with those issues within yourself, because we know that, like we talked about earlier, marriage is two-sided. For every marriage that ends, it's not just one person that is doing something that is not good or not meeting those expectations. It's that there's two people, yes, who are imperfect, but you have to be willing to look within yourself and get the help that you need for yourself, because there can be successful repeat marriages, absolutely. So there's no condemnation here, that we are totally okay, that, listen, we know that people get remarried and that's okay, but we urge you to make sure that you are healthy before you enter into a marriage again so that you can avoid being that negative statistic.
Amen, amen. All right, last one here for time. Do you have any good recommendations for marriage counseling? And the answer is yes, absolutely. And if you're in a place that you desire marriage counseling, I want to encourage you to email us at info, just real simple, info@elevatecitychurch.com. We work with a counseling center, and we've seen great success rate from some of our families that we have sent there. And so it's been great. And so if you're in that place and you desire more information, we'll get you the information that you need so that you can look at it yourself, obviously, and then make the call and appointment, whatever you need to do necessary to be able to help you out. Amen, everybody. All right, well, let's pray. Time is moving along here, so we want to pray, and Bethany's going to take some time and pray over the ladies, and then it's just kind of how we felt led to end the service today, and then I want to take an opportunity just to pray over the men of the house as well.
Father God, we just thank you for each and every woman that is in here. Lord, I speak purity over heart, mind, body, spirit, every aspect of these women, that they would put you first in every area of their life, that they would keep themselves pure, and that, God, they would turn to you for those times where they have made a mistake, where they would change and turn from the past that they've had and turn towards you, Father, and know that there is forgiveness and grace within you. That's at the core of you, Lord. I speak over these women and marriages, God, for those wanting to be married one day. Let us get and understand what doing marriage your way means for us as a woman, that we would be, like the Bible tells us, that Proverbs 31 woman, that we would be a wife of noble character. And that's powerful, God. So help us to really understand what that is, to be a woman that is after you first and foremost, God, so that we can be that wife that we need to be for our spouse or our future spouse. We thank you for purity of heart and mind in Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for every man in the house today. And God, just thank you, Lord, for what you are even doing in this series. And Father, I pray that we would be men that are after your heart, God. God, that we would have the heart, the desire to do what is pleasing to you. I pray over every man that desires, Lord, to get married. Father, that you would help him in Jesus' name. Help them, God, to just recognize, God, that you are next to them. And Father, that they would never settle, but they would only settle for your best in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I just thank you for the wisdom, the strength of heaven. God, the importance of doing life, God, in small groups and having good, solid friends to help us in the journey, so important. Father, thank you for purity. God, let purity be a part of us, Lord, in Jesus' name, within our heart. Help us to walk it out. And God, if we're in an area that we may be struggling, I just declare freedom over every man in Jesus' name over us. And God, that you would help us, Lord, whether we're married or single, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Just thank you for that. Holy Spirit, you're such an amazing counselor and helper and friend to us. And I speak life over every marriage, God. And as husbands, God, raise us up to be men that, God, that love you and love our wives just as you love the church in Jesus' mighty name. God, cause us to embrace, God, that love and that ministry, God, that we have for our wife and for our family as you have called us to help lead the home. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare courage and strength to rise up within us, God, to keep you at the center. And God, may our walk, God, be a ministry and a source of encouragement, God, to our wives and to our kids. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, with every head bowed and all eyes closed, we just want to take an opportunity right here. We don't want to leave this moment without giving us just an opportunity. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, that you can know him personally today. And I just want you to know Jesus Christ died for you, died on that cross. He was put in a tomb, but he didn't just stay there. 3 days later, he rose again. And we serve a God who is alive and well. And so I want to encourage you, if God is not the center of your life, the focus of your life, I want to encourage you, make him the center of your life before you leave this place today. With every head bowed and eyes closed in just a second, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand just with boldness and just say, man, that's me. I need to make Jesus the center of my life, the focus of all that I am. And maybe you serve God at one point, but maybe for whatever reason you just have not been journeying with God or you've fallen away from him. I just want to encourage you. This is your moment right here. And then we're all going to pray in just a second. But if that's you, just to, on the count of three, just want you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. If you say, man, that's me. That's me. That's me. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now I just want to lead you in this prayer. And just say something like this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. My life belongs to you. Thank you for saving me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Thank you for this new life. In Jesus' name, amen.